Welcome to Echotones. I'm Joy LaClaire. On January 3rd, 2020, we spoke with Kit Stevenson, Assistant Director of the Bozeman Public Library, about the new Community Services Center opening in the library's lobby on January 6th, 2020, called Open Door. Welcome to Echotones, Kit Stevenson. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Kit, you are the Assistant Director of the Bozeman Public Library. Is that right?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I work very closely with our director, Susan Gregory, and we plot out things. How are we going to see the future at the library? It's actually quite fun to think about things. But I'm also on the ground floor. I supervise all the department heads of each department at the library, and I help when maybe there's a vacancy there. So recently we had a vacancy in circulation, so I was helping the folks down there check in books and check out. It was really a great experience to just be downstairs and working with the community more and more. So
the reason I asked to be able to talk with you today is because of this new part of the library, the open door.
Yes.
Tell us about Open Door.
Okay. We are so excited about this project. We had a room on the side of the lobby that was connected to the big community room that originally was Yellowstone Public Radio space. So they would use it for interviews like this and other such things. It was actually happening before I got here. But when they moved out, we kind of kept brainstorming, what could we do with this space? And we first talked to the police department about maybe them having an office there. But now they have another space in the library, and we thought, what if we had groups come and do outreach here for the community? So we have a lot of service providers that will be coming in daily and just be there to help people navigate our community, navigate services that might be in need. So
give our listeners an idea of some of the community organizations that will be working out of this new open door at the library.
Sure. We have, the Job Center will be here once a week. I believe it's on Tuesdays. And they can help, you know, if people are trying to fill out their applications, or they can also help with what they do, which is finding the resources to look for jobs in town. We also have the Help Center twice a week, and they'll be here. So if anybody is in crisis, I think that will be kind of a nice opportunity for the Help Center to be here and helping people, but also giving resources like how to call, you know, what happens when you call 211, which is a national helpline.
Is that the one for suicide prevention?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then we also have Thrive and Community Health Partners, Bozeman Health. So they'll be here and they can help with navigating Medicare and health insurance. So we kind of have a wide array of groups that will be here. But what I'm so excited about is our mission is to really connect people and our patrons with community resources. And this is just a more intimate way to do that.
I noticed in the list on the website at the Bozeman Public Library website, and listeners can go to Bozeman Public Library website under services. If you look down, a menu comes up and then Open Door is there. Mm-hmm. And they have a list of the organizations mm-hmm. that are participating in this.
Right.
And I noticed Family Promise
yes.
was one of them.
They are.
What I didn't see easily available was a calendar or a schedule. Is that going to be coming soon?
I just put it on about 2 hours ago. So right on that website, there's a January and a February schedule. I also hung it up right outside our door so people can just see it. Actually, the easiest way to get to that website is bozemanlibrary.org/opendoor. So you can just get access it right there.
Great. And I think that we'll also put a link on the KGVM website
with
this article that sends people there.
Yeah.
This is a very new thing. Has this been done at other libraries that you're aware of? Are you using a model from somewhere else?
You know, not exactly. A lot of libraries nationally are starting to hire social workers as a staff member in their library. And we have been interested in that idea, but right now we don't have the finances to do that. So that was kind of where some of our thinking was coming from, like, how could we offer those services without hiring somebody to do that? And so we started talking with some different folks like HRDC and Rick Gale from the Elks Drug Awareness Group. And it just kind of all started melding together, like, wow, we can actually partner with so many wonderful groups in town to kind of help folks who might need help. And they're coming here anyway. It's such a community hub here. So it's a natural place for folks to come to seek out resources.
Well, you mentioned funding issues. Mm-hmm. How did the funding come about to even create the space at the library?
Right. Well, the foundation was very excited about this project. And so they raised money to renovate the room. And we had to put a whole new door in it. That was kind of where the name came from, to the open door. But we didn't have a door going from the lobby into this room. It was, you'd have to go through the community room to get there. So we added a whole new door from the lobby. So yeah, the foundation funded that with very nice donors that contributed to that. So that was very helpful. And then working with the partners, that's all just partnerships where we don't have any money exchanging.
And when you say the foundation, mm-hmm. you mean the
Bozeman Public Library Foundation.
Yes. Are there other things that you think our listeners would do well to know about specifically the open door?
Yes, I think we'll have a schedule like we talked about. But if you're coming in and you're curious about it, any one of the folks that are going to be sitting there can answer, you know, what is this about? Tell me more. And they'll be able to do that. They'll also be sort of a service navigator. So if you're coming in and you're looking for jobs, but maybe Bozeman Health is in the room, they'll be able to direct you to the right information, contact information, or even when Bozeman Health would be in the library. So I also think of them as service navigators.
Well, that's interesting. That must mean that there was quite a bit of coordination among the groups before this happened.
Yes.
Talk about that process. Okay. That sounds really tricky.
Yeah. We've been meeting with all the partners that we're working with since, I would say, last March. And we had a large meeting. We invited lots of different groups that we knew from Greater Gallatin Homeless Action Coalition and other groups that we kind of engage in. So we just invited a lot of different people to come to that first initial meeting and talked about our vision. And they were very excited about it. They just thought, you know, this is such a wonderful opportunity for them to do outreach and be in a more active place rather than in their office. So then after that, we thought we were going to be getting the door earlier than we did. So I just kept in communication with all of them through email. And then we had another meeting this fall and really kind of tied up the loose ends. The schedule was tough to figure out when to plug everybody in, but we did it and it was really great.
Boy, that's monumental. This is actually, Kit, very exciting.
Yes.
News. And it occurs to me that, especially for people new to town, it must be very challenging to figure out what services are available and that sort of thing. Right. And as you said, the library is a major hub.
Yes.
For anyone from anywhere.
Yeah.
Coming new to town.
Right. No, I know. We hear it all the time. People say, well, one of the reasons I moved to Bozeman is because of the library. And I love hearing that. But yeah, if anyone needs any kind of assistance, HRDC is such a wonderful organization. They help with first-time homebuyers and food bank and everything like that. So there will be a wealth of information there.
So these are mostly nonprofits yes. you're talking about. Of course, mm-hmm. I saw that the fire department yes. is, when you first hear that, you're going, why does the fire department want to have outreach at the library? Explain their yeah. connection.
Well, you know, they love to reach out and give safety tips here and there. And they're going to be sharing their slot with the police department. So they'll be alternating Wednesday mornings with the police department. So the fire department's always looking for opportunities to talk with people. And they want to do, I can't even list all the things they want to do, but teaching people how to put in babies' car seats correctly and things like that. And the police department really want to have an active engagement with children. So I think there might be a story time kind of near the time when they'll be there. And so they can kind of be more active with teaching our whole community what they do, you know, and I think it's really great. So,
well, speaking of children, that was actually where I was going to go next. My impression is that from the age of like 5 or 6 to newborns is when an individual is most often brought to the library. Am I off base on that? Or is that, I know in my life that's been true.
I know, and mine too, you know, with my son. And I would say definitely yes. I mean, early literacy is where we shine. And I love that. But we have up to 40,000 people visiting us a year, and it's all ages, you know.
Yeah.
We just have all walks of life coming into the library, and I love that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Are there any other of the groups mm-hmm. that focus primarily or abundantly on children?
Well, I think Thrive does.
Yeah, Thrive.
Family Promise, their mission is to help families, you know, in homeless situations. No, I think all the rest are kind of more, you know, a broader vision for their work. But Community Health Partners, they help with the dental and medical and everything like that. So
mm-hmm. we've already said the fire department and the police mm-hmm. department. Are there any other city or county mm-hmm. groups or agencies that other than the nonprofits
yes.
that will be involved in this?
Well, I spoke with the city, a few people at the city hall, and they're very interested in having a slot. So they have one on Friday afternoons, but it will be kind of trading off economic development, neighborhoods, coordination, affordable housing. So they just want to have an opportunity to be sharing their information as well. I'm sure we'll have sustainability. Maybe even a commissioner or two would have some time. So, yeah,
well,
we're looking forward to that.
This is just the very beginning. So who
yes,
knows
exactly.
where this will lead. The potential is just limitless.
Yeah, it is. And the last time we all met together, the partners, we decided that we're just going to explore and see how this goes. And maybe there's certain services that are more in demand and we'll try to grow that, or, you know, or if it's just this real even keel, everything is being accessed. I think we'll see what happens. You know, we don't know. I'm very excited to see.
I haven't had a chance to look at the schedule yet, but yeah. is there room for expansion or is it already pretty full?
I have almost Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 o'clock booked, although there are some open slots in there. I'd love to see some weekend hours, but I don't have that right now. So there is room for growth, and there's a couple of openings that if anybody wants to contact me, I would love to talk to them.
Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know about the Open Door? Anything about it doesn't have to be. One question.
Yes.
Is there a particular individual or group of individuals that we can thank as the original inspiration for this?
You know, I would definitely say Susan Gregory, our director. She was very instrumental in brainstorming with Steve Crawford, our chief of police, and Janae Johnson, our director of the Bozeman Public Library Foundation. All that brainstorming happened with a few of us, and it happened. So I'm very happy about it.
I want to talk now, if you're willing, to talk about some of the challenges that the library is facing as we enter this third decade of the 21st century.
Yeah.
The role of libraries has really changed in my lifetime.
Yes, it really has.
Share with our listeners what you consider some of the challenges.
Challenges? I think because libraries are changing so much since technology has really taken off, but also in general, people's needs, you know, it's not always going to be answered in a book. I mean, they're there. Everything's there in a book. Actually, I had somebody tell me the other night that books saved his life and a class didn't, but the books were what taught him where he needed to be. Nationally, libraries are really seeing an increase in the homeless population, finding the library being their warm place, their safe place, a place they can go all day. And I think that's great to be a safe place, but it is challenging because other parts of the population find it difficult to come to the library. And so that's a conversation we're always having with patrons and the community and the city in how we can help Bozeman just kind of figure out these issues. And we're a big part of the conversation about developing a 24-hour homeless shelter all year round. We go to a lot of meetings about that and voice our concerns. I think that's one of the biggest challenges. I really do. It's a public building. Everyone's welcome. We want to be welcoming and compassionate, but it gets challenging sometimes for other people to feel safe or feel comfortable to come to the library. So it's something that concerns us, definitely.
Well, that is certainly a national issue. Yeah. And I think it's one of the ways in which public libraries in general and Bozeman Public Library in particular is kind of a microcosm and a cauldron almost of how to deal with difficult societal issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, when I spoke of libraries hiring social workers, that's a big part of their job is just to be available, walking around the library, really trying to engage with folks that might be needing some extra resources. And so this open door really kind of helps us to answer those issues because, you know, librarians weren't trained to be social workers and our folks sometimes are intimidated as well. So really, I'm hoping the open door will help with us a little. I mean, I know it's not going to solve any major problems, but just to help.
Well, it certainly is an innovation that is in a direction of addressing these particular needs that involves the greater community. It's hopefully it's going to take some of the pressure off the individual librarians, as you just mentioned, and at the same time engaging people who have dedicated their lives in their work as part of organizations addressing these needs.
Yeah.
So it's just a wonderful ecotone here on the east side of town.
It is. And, you know, we've had some of these groups have actually had times where they've sent some of their employees to come over to the library and just hang out and engage with some of this population. And so it's just a real natural fit. It really is.
So you say that librarians actually are not trained to do the social work that modern libraries face.
Right. And, you know, more and more, I guess I would say when I go to conferences or, you know, national conferences, that is a huge topic. And a lot of people are going to those sessions because they do want to learn how to kind of be more trauma informed and relate and just understand what's going on for somebody rather than, you know, you have to leave right now and can't come back. You know, we want to be more compassionate than that.
I imagine learning skills of de-escalation.
Yes. Yes.
Which is tricky. I have no experience with it except, yeah, you know, in personal situations.
Right. No, we have a lot of staff training here at Bozeman, and that is something the police department has helped us with, and the sheriff department, learning how to de-escalate, learning how to kind of make those connections even before it gets to a crisis point too. That's really important, so that when there is a crisis, then they'll recognize us as someone that has made that connection in the, before.
So it sounds like the librarians have like an extended situational awareness in, yes, addition to helping people find books, yes, and things like that.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And we are a community resource center, you know, I mean, it started with books and programming, learning how to sew. We have a program series this winter on thriving and surviving in winter. And, you know, a lot of mental health issues have come up through that series as well. So we're really trying to just kind of expand and our services and the resources that are available.
Well, Kit, is there anything else you want to let our listeners know, not necessarily about Open Door, that we haven't already talked about? This is your chance to share that.
Thank you. Well, we're just very excited to be a voice in this community and the changing times that we're facing. I mean, we all know that Bozeman is booming like crazy. And really just yesterday was our first day of going fine free. The impetus there was to kind of just break down barriers for coming to the library. And I feel like Open Door is that way too. We want to be accessible to all. And so the fine free policy change is that we are not charging overdue fines anymore. So your daily overdue fines will not be there anymore. And they're also kind of got wiped from your past as well. Obviously, we do want the books back. So if they're 30 days late, then we will charge you for the book itself. But as far as fines, there will not be there anymore. And I'm so excited about this. I see families not wanting to come back. You know, I mean, there's kids that are checking out lots of books and they've all got fines on them and they think, oh, I can't use the library anymore. And so I just am very excited about this program that we're doing and the policy change, and feel that it's kind of a good gift to the community as well as Open Door, because I just feel like everything's coming together to be this place where it's hopping. It's really a place to be.
People with whom I've spoken about the taking away of the late fees, mm-hmm, the initial reaction is yippee. But then people say, well, I put a hold on a DVD, uh-huh, and what if people just stop bringing it, right, back when it's due?
Right.
And then the other question is, will this affect the finances of the library not having these late fees?
Yeah.
So how do you respond to those kind of concerns?
So the first one, a lot of libraries are doing this around the country and they've been studying it and they are not finding that the books are coming in later. They've put the faith into their community that they will still bring the books back when they're due. And we're doing that too. So there might be maybe a couple days later, but you'll still get your holds. We also track how many holds are put on books. And so we buy more if there's that many hold, you know, I think it's over 10, then we would buy another copy. So I am not too worried about that. I think people will get their books. So the second part of that question remind me.
Will this affect the finances at the library?
Right. Yeah. So all our fines were going to the general fund of the city, but we did calculate that it was less than 2% of the library's total budget that it was being affected. So we just felt that with ebooks, you know, ebooks and audiobooks, and now we have some movies streaming, Those do not create fines. They just are returned on the day that it's due automatically. That was kind of affecting that revenue stream anyway, if you know what I mean. We weren't charging fines for those, and more people are kind of moving towards using those resources. So I don't think it's affecting us in the deep way that we're worried about our finances.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that did answer. And I think that those people had thought that the fines went to buying more books or something. I think learning that it actually doesn't stay in the library, right, but goes to the city, that'll change a lot of people's opinions.
And you know, the friends of the library, they've been so excited about this idea as well. And they have actually taken on more with buying resources for us, such as books. They buy our most wanted collection that are the most popular books every month. They also bought our new e-resource, which is Canopy, which is of great movies that are online. So they're helping with those finances as well to pick up where maybe the city wouldn't be able to fund anymore. Then the friends kind of help with those situations, and the donors that help the friends, that's really helpful.
And are there any other innovations in the last year, 18 months, besides what you've just mentioned that listeners should know about?
That's a good question. Our adult programming, you know, is kind of taking off with some really interesting programs. We have, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of makerspaces in different libraries around the country. We are kind of taking that and like breaking it down. So what can we do? So we have sewing classes, we have knitting classes, crochet, cooking. Recently, we've been doing some sauerkraut classes and kimchi. And I really feel like it's almost like a different way of being a reference librarian, because we're helping people learn new skills, hands-on. I mean, books are always going to be also helping people learn new skills, but I think it's really fun to be thinking about it as a hands-on class.
Well, Kit, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If someone has a brilliant idea for mm-hmm. something such as you've just mentioned, how would they go about suggesting it to the library?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do have a form on our website for program proposals. So if somebody wanted to fill that out, there's a way to get there on our website. On the menu, there's a section saying, I want to. And then if you click on that, there's program proposals. Also, contact any of our department heads for the different departments in the library. Carmen Clark is the head of adult programming. She's a good person to contact. And then, of course, me or Susan Gregory. We love to hear ideas. We love people's ideas.
Well, any final words or thoughts for our listeners, Kit Stevenson?
I really appreciate this opportunity to just express my excitement about public libraries and the direction we're going in, and just want to thank the community for all their support.
Well, thank you, Kit Stevenson, Assistant Director of the Bozeman Public Library, for joining us today on Echotones.
Yeah, thank you, Joy. This has been wonderful.
Well, good. You have just heard a conversation with Bozeman Public Library's Assistant Director, Kit Stevenson, recorded on January 3rd, 2020. We spoke with her about the new community services office in the library's lobby called Open Door, opening on January 6, 2020. Surely, Open Door is another of the many gifts the Bozeman Public Library brings to our community. Another Echotone. An ecotone is a transition zone between two biomes. It is where two communities meet and integrate. It may be narrow or wide. It may be local or regional. An ecotone may appear as a gradual blending of two communities across a broad area, or it can manifest as a sharp boundary line. This program, Echotones, explores the variety and diversity of the Greater Gallatin Valley community, offering audio tones echoing our communities influencing and being influenced by each other, bridging limits and boundaries, and celebrating diversity. Echotones is a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire in Bozeman, Montana.